Welcome to Kingdom Conversations Quadcast. I'm Curtis.
And this is Sally.
And tonight we are sans Anne and Sean.
Are you trying to speak French? I don't know very good French. It's like a... ne sans pas.
That's more than I know.
I just know you have to say no and then the word and then pas at the end if it's no.
Anne and Sean are going to be with us tonight. I know that Sean is preparing a sermon for the VA this coming weekend.
That's right. So we were thinking it would be fun just to have Curtis and I sit down and have a conversation about something, just the two of us. We visited a new church because we're in the market, if you will.
We're in transition.
In the market for a new church, which I just laugh because Curtis and I were talking earlier today about the feeling that you're like now a consumer, you know, shopping for a new church. You know, like we use those kind of terminologies a lot, but when you really think about it, it's a strange way to think about it in terms of trying to find a community that you want to spend life with and spend time with and praise God with. And so it's an interesting process.
It can be hard. When we first moved here, we started going to a church for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when that church closed, we spent about a year off, just kind of out of ministry with a church that we didn't really ever fully become a part of, or I don't know how to explain it. It was a place that we were able to heal and do some rest.
Yeah, I mean, you were doing maybe some spiritual healing, but also some real physical healing because you had the surgery on your neck.
Yeah, we liked that church.
Yeah, and then after that, after you were actually healed, your neck was feeling better, and you felt like you were called again to get back into ministry and started looking for some other jobs. And
which is an interesting way to go about looking for a church home, is, you know, finding a place that is hiring.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're so agreeable. Well, I don't know, because it's hard having been spoiled by Bible college. You know, I've gotten all this information about church history as well as scripture and all this other stuff put into my brain. And then I look at churches in America, and there's definitely a disconnect between what I think Jesus was trying to get the church to be and what it has become throughout the years. Now, I'm not saying it's all evil or all bad or all sinful or anything like that. But I think that our story is quite like the story of all of Israel throughout the Bible, of missing the mark and not quite getting it right. So it's hard to go and be looking for a church as though you're going to find some perfect church, because it doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah. And it's hard too, because our culture is different today.
Sure.
And I know that's like a hard, I don't know, it feels harder to kind of just live in community sometimes, I feel like, with our busy culture and people, you know, literally driving 30 minutes or more from different places just to come to a church that kind of fits all the requirements they're looking for and
right.
In the culture of that church, or maybe it's a specific denomination or friends. So
type of worship.
It's not like a village or a community, people that are spending their daily lives together and then like gathering on Sunday. It's, you might only see those people on Sunday, or,
yeah,
you know, people are all coming from all sorts of places, and
which has its good and bad. I mean, there's goods and bads in that. Obviously, I think that if you were in a community where you lived together and saw each other every day and then worshiped God together every once a week, or even possibly more than once a week together, and just shared that kind of life and shared that kind of relationship with God, and I think that'd be a really powerful thing. But it's also something unique to our culture, our time, that we can worship with people that we normally otherwise would not have met.
Yeah. It's just interesting because we're able to connect with people from far away with the internet and, you know, social media, and even like the way that we can now dial up a doctor and maybe even have a video conversation with the doctor, and they can prescribe us. I was just talking with a friend this morning about how they were on vacation and their daughter, I forget what she what was going on with her, but something, they called up the doctor on through her insurance, and they were able to help take care of it. She didn't even have to try to find a doctor while they were out traveling. And it's just like, you know, now we've got a lot of churches today where maybe the pastor isn't even physically there. You know, maybe he's being broadcasted, he or she is being broadcasted in, and people are gathering at like multiple sites, all listening in to somebody at a central site.
And those are interesting situations.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity that that can happen, but it's just so much different. Like, you might not even have that personal contact with your pastor. And there might be a like a home pastor there, but yeah, the he doesn't really talk about, I mean, it's just interesting to kind of like work through that. And I don't think it just impacts church. It's, you know, of course, like something our culture and our society is dealing with, you know, trying to put down our devices and look up and like actually have conversations with people. But yeah, it's a little bit of a tangent, but it's kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, it's when you're looking for a church, as we are, you know, it, you're going to come across churches that are satellite churches of other mega churches that are broadcasting, and you're watching a video on a giant screen. And I like HT as much as anybody, but it's just a different experience sitting in a large room with people watching a video of someone giving a good word.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like good or bad. It's just different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it is. Just like anything, though, I think there's an opportunity for sin to creep in, you know, and I think that in the culture, the celebrity culture we live in, I think that having a almost untouchable pastor who's always teaching that you see on this giant screen, it can create in some people like a sense of Christian celebrity.
That,
and I'm not saying that about any particular person, I just, because I can't judge their heart, you know, off of the fact that they have multi sites. I think God can reach a lot of people through churches like that. I just think that there is a danger that needs to be guarded against.
Yeah, it's interesting. That can happen pretty easily, even if it's not a remote. Yeah, because we were having a well, we did see Ann and Sean this morning. We were having a breakfast, brunch, lunch. And you know, he was bringing up a pastor who does speak at a church that has sites, and was talking about how relatable he was in that, sharing his normal everyday life and how he messed up. And, you know, so you could have somebody like that that actually feels like more like a real person, even though you don't necessarily, even though you're watching them on the screen, versus somebody that might be physically there, but it's hard to break through and actually get to know them because they're putting on, you know, their best foot forward, or, you know, they got their Sunday morning mode on and don't necessarily get vulnerable. And it kind of depends. I mean, that's why we have so many different churches, because I think I would be drawn to somebody that it feels more real and is willing to be vulnerable and like share, you know, but other people might not like that style so much. And yeah, I was thinking about it'd be funny. It's funny because I think, of course, we wouldn't just go to the church where like our neighbors here were going. Because, you know, I was talking about, you know, people travel from far away, because I was thinking, well, I wouldn't go just where my neighbor our neighbors are going because there's something that we want, something that's important to us that we're looking for.
Right.
So I don't think, just thinking about cultural differences, I don't know if there were always so many options. And it's probably different. I mean, I know it's different in other parts of the country.
Sure.
But where we live here in Ohio, it feels like there's so many churches and so many options. Where when we were in California, there's still, you know, options, definitely.
And when we visited Tennessee, I was like, oh, there's even more churches here.
Yeah. When there's so many options, I know one thing that you and I talk about is we don't want to pass by 10 churches on the way to get to our church.
Yeah.
Especially if we're passing 10 churches and it's like a 30-minute drive or longer.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, to me, yeah. I can't logically understand yeah. why.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be going for like a service. I'd be going for some sort of presentation. I'd be going for some, I feel more like consumer going to this giant church because they, or this other remote church, giant or small, because it had something that I wanted. I don't know. It seems selfish to me. No judgment. Just me personally.
Yeah. I mean, I think because there's, like you mentioned, there's never a perfect church because, I mean, the church is the people
right.
that make it up. So, and we're not perfect. And I thought about that today when we were going into church and visiting versus when we've been on the other side and visitors come in and we're like, oh, it's a visitor. Like, you want to make them feel so welcome. And I mean, this church definitely did that for us. I mean, it seemed like they went.
Lots of people said hello, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, they definitely helped accommodate
sure.
for our son, who, that was another thing we wanted to talk a little bit about is.
Trying to find a church when yeah. you have a special needs child and yeah. a service animal.
Yeah, because you can't just show up. Well, you can, but.
It's better if you don't.
Yeah, so you usually want to call ahead and say, hey, like.
I believe houses of worship are one of the places that don't have to allow your animal to come in.
Oh, yeah.
So it really is better if you have a service animal to tell them ahead of time that yeah. you have a service animal and that you're coming in and you want to make sure everything is going to yeah. be okay. Because, I mean, nobody really wants to start a scene on a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. I don't think.
You have to leave. Yeah, you can't pull out the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yeah.
At a church. So you have to let me be here. Which is kind of interesting.
It is interesting, but churches are
yeah,
often
you wouldn't think that they would turn people away.
Yeah.
But I know that they have just based on stories we've heard from other people with service dogs. So usually what happens is, well, this church we visited, we knew a couple of people there. So reached out to them, knew that they were involved with the kids' ministries. Hey, like, we're going to come visit and, you know, we're bringing Silas. So get connected with the children's director, other children's pastor there, you know, offer to have us come visit ahead of time, which we take them up on that.
Yeah.
You know, definitely ready for us when we came there that morning, like mm-hmm. really excited to have Silas there, want to be able to serve families like us. And this particular church has, you know, maybe one other family that comes regularly with a child with special needs, but their child is a bit younger than Silas. So, yeah, so they were definitely welcoming. But Curtis and I were thinking, wow, like, just to get a visit, there's so much work ahead of time
yeah.
to prepare. You're already invested in this place before you even get a chance to check it out.
Right.
They sent us home. Actually, they emailed us questionnaire. and I was telling Curtis before this that if, I don't know, maybe any other special needs parents out there can relate. And I don't know how it is with other medical conditions, but with autism, you fill out
so many
questionnaires all the time. Especially because our son is nonverbal. So we have to answer a lot of questionnaires to kind of help doctors and the psychologists and the speech therapist and the teachers all
good
understand.
5 to 10 pages almost.
And they're the same questions the same all the questions. Time. Just about, you know, like, what does he do well? You know, what are his strengths? Like, what are his sensory issues? And what does he understand? You know, these words, or is he able to do this by himself? You know, leading up through different milestones. And
yeah.
We visited a church a little over a month ago, and they gave me a questionnaire, and it felt very much like a questionnaire.
Oh, really?
That I'd gotten from, you know, it was like a kind of more like a medical form, like what are they good at?
Which church was this?
One that we visited with Ann and Sean.
Oh.
Where they're going.
Oh.
Yeah, so
should
I was expecting...
Should we not say the names of the churches?
I don't know, maybe not. So we're...
We are not endorsing any of these churches.
I don't know, because we're just talking in generalities. Like, I don't want to call anybody out. I mean, and it was... But anyway, we got this questionnaire, and I'm, like, filling it out, like, last night before we go to church at, like, 9, which is pretty early. But for me, it felt really late, because I was getting up at, like, 5 in the morning to go for a run. But I was looking at these questions, and I was like, I don't think I even... could answer this, like, in the, you know, each of them have like 2 little lines so you could write a response.
Tiny, with barely any space, like 8-point font space between the lines.
Yeah. It was interesting because it was the first time I've been to a church where I was like, wow, they really want to know, don't they? Like, they want to know how this is affecting our life and how they can help us and like how is this affecting our family. But I was just like, this is stuff that's actually kind of personal.
Right.
And like, I don't think I could answer it even if I wanted to, like right now, or write it out. Like, it would really be like, let's sit down and really process this. So you guys are probably what the heck are these questions? Go on. What are you going
to say? Oh, no, I was just going to say that these were like, you know, 3rd or 4th date questions rather than welcome, getting to know you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like I appreciated it, but I ended up stopping trying to fill it out because I was like, I don't think I can do this right now. It's late. And so I just kind of put a note at the bottom, like, I don't think I could. These are not the type of questions I could fill out easily on a form, but maybe if we had an hour or two over coffee or something. But they're interesting questions to think about. But, you know, the first one was like, tell us how you discovered your child had a sensory learning, emotional, or physical difference. So I was just like, well, that's a dumb question. I have a medical diagnosis. You're also giving this form to somebody who not only do they fill out all these forms for medical professions, they fight insurance companies all the time. So it's like, he has medical diagnosis,
but they're asking
2.97 or something.
What
I actually don't
know
the number.
You go to the doctor and seek out a medical diagnosis.
It's like, my son is 9. I don't want to travel back in time.
Tell me he's 2.
Tell me about when you first found out that you're so, well, okay. Like, my main memories of that is like pretty painful.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to start thinking about right now. I'll start crying. But then I was like, okay. Medical diagnosis. What things have you found to enjoy about having a child with special needs? And my response was, like, I said the same things that I enjoy about my child who is typically developing. I got kind of defensive because I was like, what do you mean? It's a child. Like, and I know that there are things because he has special needs that are different. But I don't respond to it in a question. Like, I don't know. It's just funny to kind of reflect on this because it's a really nice question to ask and that they care.
Right.
But it like brings up this like, I have another child that I enjoy in all the same ways. But yeah, that's a deep question about, you know,
deep.
What are things you found to enjoy? And then, you know, what are the challenges you face as a parent to a child with special needs? And it's like,
and those 2 little lines, you want me to write that out?
It's like,
I don't really want to focus on the negative either. Like, so
yeah, it's like, what? So many things, but then at the same time, it's like putting him to bed tonight was way easier than getting Cadence to bed.
Yeah,
she fights back, and
she's not medicated.
But yeah, I don't stop and think about that too much. I mean, there's like the obvious things, but it's like, this is just our life.
Yeah. The only thing that like comes up for me a lot is like when he starts vocally simming really loud and it starts to give me a migraine and I get nauseous and a headache, like, and I just want to hide.
Yeah,
I think that's really challenging for me, but.
Yeah. I think I said like, you know, having to manage some of his behavioral issues like in a public place, and like I think one of the things we've gotten used to is like we're pretty open to going and trying, but being prepared that if we gotta go, we gotta go.
Yeah.
And I think if anything, I always like might push him to stay a little bit longer if Cadence is really enjoying it, because I don't want her to feel like, oh, because of Silas we have to go. But
yeah, it's a tough balance.
But yeah, there's lots of things. But yeah, it's like, I can't answer this.
Those two little lines, we just went on the back of the page with that one.
Yeah. And then the next one was, what has God taught you through your child and the challenges you have faced? So it kind of like builds on the first, those last two questions.
Man, that's deep. That's like really deep.
And there's like two lines. I'm like, what?
What has God,
so much.
What is that question again?
Here.
What
maybe
has
you
God,
can try to answer it for us. What has God taught you through your child and the challenges you have faced?
You know, really early on in the diagnosis period, when he was literally just running back and forth from the front door to the back door, back door, yelling, stimming. And I was trying to talk to him and get him to do things. I like notice all these things that like, you know, makes a lot of noise, repetitive behaviors that I wish he would stop, would not look at me in the eye, not listen to what I'm saying, not follow any of my instructions. And God was just like, hey, bud, that's you. That's you with me right now.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's one thing he's taught me. But even then, like there's so many nuances to that he's taught me along the way in the same manner that it's making it impossible for me to get really mad at Silas for things that he does, because I'm the same way with Father God.
Yeah. I mean, I think that question is really good. I mean, for any parent, I mean, you learn so much.
Oh, sure. But I mean, I've learned stuff from Cadence too.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And some of the little things she said, just out of the mouths of babes, it's just like, whoa. You don't even know how deep what you just said is, kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the one thing that I've noticed is that people are really like touched by Silas.
Yeah.
When he does like give them a hug or give them affection, or because I mean he is very affectionate, but he also, you know, won't look at you or say hi, and then the next minute he's like
giving you love.
Yeah, maybe not the next minute, but he warms up to you and then he's like loving you. And so people are like so moved by that and like fall in love with him. And sometimes yeah, it's true. I think, like, I don't know, it's like, what has God taught you? But, like, I think he teaches a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember a friend who had shared with us that she'd been diagnosed with breast cancer. And she felt like Silas, like, came up and, like, looked her in the eye that night. And, like, she just felt like he cared and I don't think he really I don't think he understood that she had cancer, even knows what cancer is. But
eye contact with him is rare. So when you do get it, it is special.
Yeah.
I think there's something special. And I don't know that he knows what cancer is or anything like that. Yeah. But I would not be surprised if he could sense that she needed some love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's a pretty perceptive kid.
Yeah. The next question was, again, it's like, do you have to ask this? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? I just wrote, yes, absolutely. I was like, I think almost most parents feel overwhelmed.
Right. I mean, what parent doesn't feel overwhelmed?
Yeah. I mean, the next one was nice. Like, how can we as a church support you? But that's another one you can't really write down in 2 cents. Like, well, I don't really know you yet, and I'm not sure.
Support me by not asking me to fill out so many forms.
But it was nice. And then the next one, what are your child's strengths? I mean, that one is on like most every form.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually like, he's super sweet. He's got an award-winning smile. What does he or she enjoy? And then the next one, I think, was actually where I stopped trying to fill it out and was just like, let's just have a conversation. Maybe someday. But it was, what kind of struggles does your child have? I was thinking the next one. But this one was, what kind of struggles does your child have because of his or her challenges? I don't know. I think that one I just wrote about not being able to communicate.
Yeah, and it's like what we view as his struggles,
yeah.
You know, which would be the communication piece because he's nonverbal.
Yeah, we got 3 lines for that one.
Oh, that's nice. It's the shortest answer.
Yeah. But the next one was what I was thinking of. How does your child with special needs affect your other children?
Yeah, I'm done.
That one's a hard. I mean, that's definitely one. I remember when we first took Silas to Cincinnati Center for Autism, like they were talking about one thing they offered was this session for the siblings, you know, to learn about it. And Cadence has never gone to anything like that. At the time, she was too young. But yeah, it impacts her for sure.
Yeah, I mean, she's never really expressed a desire to learn about autism more. I think she's gotten to know Silas. She probably thinks autism is... She might think that everyone who has autism is like Silas.
Yeah, I think she's had the most questions when we've met other kids with autism. Maybe like during the service dog. Like, I think her point of reference was that if you had autism, you didn't talk. Because a lot of people will ask, like, why doesn't your brother talk? Or...
Yeah.
You know, and she'll say he has autism, he can't talk. She's kind of put that like obvious one together.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, she loves him so much. Like, I'm amazed that, you know, despite the times we've had to leave places because of Silas, or the times that he's like busted something of hers, or
I mean,
smashed up all the cupcakes that she just made, or, you know.
She's so patient with him.
Yeah. So the next question, what progress have you seen in your child since his or her initial diagnosis? It's like, that's so much too. Like, I don't know. I've got to think back till when he was 2, and he's had a lot of ups and downs, and, you know, what treatments or therapies have been successful for your child?
Why are you asking that?
Yeah. It's like, hard when they're like, when he's 9, like, I don't know if like, they're not going to give treatments or therapies at church. So
no,
that
not.
One was weird for
that
me.
That was really weird.
And then this one, I'm like, oh God, like, I just try to put this into God's hands. What concerns do you have for your child's future?
Oh, stop.
I know. It's like, that's like I was telling you, we need a lot of emotional equity in the bank.
A lot.
Before you ask me that question. And
yeah. You need
that's
to,
one that I like try not to worry too much about.
That is like...
It's day by day. And like, of course, you want to plan. And like, every day is all the fighting and everything you do.
I haven't even talked to my therapist about that stuff. I'm serious.
Yeah. I mean, I think all you can do is help make sure that, like, whatever we're doing for him now is helping him to reach his best potential, and that he feels loved and he's happy, and it's going to make him like a kind and happy person. Like, 'cause I just know I feel like there's a lot of opportunity to, you know, feel frustrated and you can't talk, and, you know, he will hit himself if he gets frustrated or bite somebody.
He went through a phase of banging his head on the floor.
Yeah. And he's done that, yeah, you know, within the last year, 6 months. So I think I just always want him to know that he's loved and see him happy and like help him to communicate and help him to learn and know that we love him and God loves him. And of course he's going to like struggle, but I want that to influence, you know, how he is as he gets older. And I don't know, but yeah, concerns for your child's future. It's like, I don't know about like an entry level form.
That's really deep. I mean, that's just like, entry level is where we're at. I mean, we're looking for a church home, and it's great that they're willing to go there, you know, with us.
Yeah.
But that's a journey. That it takes time to build up that kind of relational capital, as you put it, to get people to open up and really go through those sort of challenging things.
Yeah, I like that, in a way, that this form surprised me. And I don't know who wrote the questions. Like, part of me wonders if it was somebody definitely with a background or in helping kids or mm-hmm. through education, or I can't imagine a parent putting this form together, but maybe they could have influenced. Like, I wish somebody would have like asked me these types of questions instead of like the other questions. So I don't know what other people, how they might react.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to kind of talk to some of my other friends with special needs and say, like, is it just me? Are these questions just like, whoa, these are deep and not ready to talk about this? Two lines is not enough. But I do appreciate it. I want it to seem like we're...
And how sterile is it to have like such a deep emotionally involved question like, what are your fears for your child with special needs future? Write this on these two little lines and then hand it back to me when you have a chance.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point too.
It's really sterile.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I was...
No judgment. Like,
yeah, no, I think the intention was well, and I'm... Right. And like, I think it's maybe in a way like smitching better than asking maybe some of the questions that are sterile, but maybe... I mean, and I did give feedback, at least in the way of, you know, saying like, hey, these aren't the type of questions that I can answer, you know, if we have an hour or two, maybe over coffee sometime. So I don't think you can have complaints about something unless you're willing. I don't think it was a complaint either.
But we thought
it would be an interesting thing to talk about together.
Yeah, and things like this, I'd recommend any listener or you even, which I think you do, to look at this with a sense of love. You know, whenever the church is coming at you with questions that are challenging like this, to remember that it's coming from the love of Christ. They want to know the answers. The church is coming at you from a place of love and not from a place of trying to judge you.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
So, well, yeah, I mean, all this just to find a new church, a place to grow in community and worship God with fellow believers.
Yeah, it definitely adds an extra layer when you have a child with special needs, We're thinking the next time we find ourselves in a situation where we want to visit a church, we're just going to get a babysitter so we can go and experience the church and check it out. Yeah. Because then the other part, which, you know, we hadn't brought up yet, is I can't go to the service because I'm going to stay with Silas and the service dog, which is totally fine. But
then I'm left to try to convey the entire worship experience after service. And I'm not that good with that kind of stuff.
No, you're like, everybody was so happy.
Yeah, the band was very happy. I've never seen a happier drummer like in my entire life.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the feedback I got. I'm like, well, that's awesome. I like happy.
So for us to fully experience the church as a family, we have to go at least 2 Sundays.
Yeah.
Which isn't really bad if you think about it. If you're like really trying to look for a church home and you don't want to be consumeristic, you know.
Yeah.
Then you've got to dip your feet in a little bit more than just, you know, to check the temperature.
Right. And that's where we came to, is that we don't want to just like jump in and go somewhere without checking things out. But like at the same time, it's like, well, we don't really think you can just go visit 4 churches on 4 Sundays and then make a decision.
Yeah.
I think we feel there's already been some investment here. And it's worth going back and, you know, getting to know people and kind of experiencing the community, because we're strong believers that we go to the church for the community. It's not about the Sunday show. It's about sharing life with people. And, you go and celebrate together on Sunday, but that's not, you know, it's not the main attraction.
Yeah, it's interesting. The last church we went to, we went because I was looking for a job, which is a different way to look for a church. But I don't want to look for the church as a consumer. But at the same time, I need to find a place that's good for my special needs family. And it's hard.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking for a while, so we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, I guess we
should. Hopefully that was fun for people.
You know, the only other thing I'd add on to that is, like, I think it's important to find a church home. Like, I have friends out there who are people who would go to multiple churches, you know, not really settle down at one church, and they go to different services all over the place because they like different services and they like different ways of worshiping. And while I think that's cool, like, to enjoy and get something out of different worship styles, I think that finding one of those churches to plant some roots in, invest in the people's relationships, invest into the lives of through small groups or community groups, Bible studies, like there has to be that kind of investment in there. So I just encourage any church shoppers to actually make a purchase, buy in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll do it. Anything else you want to add?
I want to add, have a great day.
Have a great day.
If you haven't been to our website, it's kingdom-conversations.com. And we have quite a few blogs up there.
Need to write another one.
Yeah, Curtis was posting quite a few blogs there. He had like a blog like wave. So it's probably good to go and check some of those out. And then you can also go to our Facebook page. It's Kingdom Conversations Quadcast. And find us there. Definitely start some conversation. I think we need to get more active on our Facebook page. If you're listening to this through iTunes, please leave us a rating, some comments. Help us out there. Leave us a rating and review, and that'll help us out greatly. If you like the podcast or if you have some feedback, it's all good. Let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Good day, good evening, and good morning.
Amen.